This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures from Friday of last week had corn closing with modest gains, and soybeans ended a two-siding trading day with a higher close Friday. First off, taking a look at corn. March and May corn both gained 2.25 cents. December corn settled with a 3 cent gain. For last week, March corn rose 3 cents. May corn rose 3.25. The market traded lower during the overnight hours into Friday, but rebounded after the 8:30 a.m. trading resumption, bolstered by a spillover support from double-digit gains in wheat. Wheat rallied on talk that Russia will impose a wheat export tax and may place quotas on exports within the next 30 to 60 days. Commodity fund buying estimated at 10,000 contracts also supported Friday's trade. Other than the rumors of less Russian ag exports, there's little fresh news moving the market on Friday, as the crop report was neutral and South American weather forecasts look similar to those from the last few days. Basis update for corn had Gulf corn estimates steady to end last week. Barge freight was slightly weaker for January. Low water level on the Mississippi River is reducing barge drafts, but a 1 to 2 inch rain over this past weekend across the mid-Mississippi Valley could push water levels 3 to 4 foot higher by later on this week, allowing normal drafts again. Interior basis levels were steady to lower at the end of last week, and in the east, as long truck unloading lines were a common theme there. Some western markets are much as 7 cents better for spot corn Friday afternoon, as a winter storm threatened to slow deliveries into this week. Eastern rail markets were also weaker, as were West Texas feeder markets. Soybeans ended a two-siding trading session with a higher close Friday. January beans were to 1160 and a half, up 7.75. March beans to 1166, up 7.25. And May beans were up by 7.5 at 1167.25. Last week, January beans gained 2.5 cents, while the March beans gained 1 penny. Commodity funds were buyers of an estimated 5,000 soybean contracts Friday. Although there were no soybean export sales on Friday morning, the USDA did announce the sale of 130,000 metric tons of soybean meal to the Philippines for delivery this marketing year. Unconfirmed rumors again persisted that China was looking for 2021-22 U.S. soybeans. Although Thursday's U.S. crop report was termed neutral to soybeans, there is a lot of talk that U.S. exports will need to be raised, which would further tighten ending stock. The current stock-to-usage ratio of 4% is not much above the record low of 2.6 back in 2013-2014. Add to that the less-than-ideal southern hemisphere weather, and that makes it appear that 2021 will be another interesting year for soybeans. The bean basis update had Gulf beans weaker, with most of the pressure on last half December and January. Processor markets were quiet at the end of last week. Lots of beans were moving into both processors and river markets through December. The January book is also thought to be large. There are 850 million bushels of undelivered export sales as of the 3rd of December. Moving on to take a look at wheat. At the close Friday, domestic wheat futures were up by double digits. Spring wheat futures gained 6.5 to 7.5 cents on Friday. Soft and hard red wheat futures were 16.75 to 18 cents higher and 14.5 to 17.75 cents higher, respectively. The weekly data released from the Federal Trade Commission showed managed money funds extended their soft red wheat net short contracts by 1,295, up to 5,692 on Tuesday of last week. That was just in time to be punished by the big rally. For hard red wheat, spec traders covered more shorts than closed longs, for 268 contracts stronger on the net long side. Minneapolis spec traders were 2,538 contracts long back on Tuesday of last week. That's down 2,217 week over week by long liquidation. Private analyst Sov Econ, which is analysts in Russia, cut the Russian wheat crop by 4.2 million metric ton down to 76.8. Russian officials are considering a wheat export tax to constrain old crop exports beginning on February 15th and running through June 30th of next year. So recapping your grain futures from Friday of last week, December corn closed at 424 and a quarter, up 4 on Friday. March corn, 423 and a half, up by 2 and a quarter. May corn, 426 and a half on Friday, up 2 and a quarter as well. Your soybean complex had January beans closing at 1160 and a half, up by 7 and 3 quarters. March beans at 1166, up 7 and a quarter. May beans closed at 1167 and a quarter, up by 7 and a half. July beans at 1166, up 7 and a half. January soybean meal closed at $380.30 per ton, up $3.10, and January soybean oil closed at $38.24, up 18 cents. Moving on, your wheat futures. Chicago wheat closed at $6.14 and a half, up 18. Kansas City March wheat up to $5.81 and a quarter, up by 7 and 3 quarters. And March Minneapolis wheat closed at $5.70, up by 7 and 1 half. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Friday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain price were higher on Friday afternoon as technical buying on the Board of Trade today supported grain values. In northern West Des Moines, cut grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 to 3 cents, 392 to 421. Soybean bids were 8 cents higher at 1111 to 1158. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 cents, 404 to 427. Soybean bids were 8 cents higher at 1138 to 1166. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 2 to 4 cents at 406 to 446. Soybean bids were 8 to 10 cents higher at 1140 to 1187. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 8 to 10 cents higher at 1171 to 1181. Basis is unchanged up to 10 over to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $380.30 to $390.30 a ton, up $3.10 a ton, with basis steady to down 2 at option to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor case corn bids were 2 cents higher at $4.19 to $4.49, with basis steady at 5 under to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted at producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents higher at 423 to 431, with basis unchanged up 1 at 1 under to 7 over the March. Soybeans ended up 3 to 8 cents at 1155 to 1160, with basis unchanged down 5 at 6 under to 1 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal placed their producer corn bids a penny higher at 450 to 452. These elevators raised their soybean prices 8 cents, quotations to 8. 1186 to 1187. Soft wheat closed up 18 cents at 644 to 645. Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 494 to 499. Contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 394 to 424. Soybeans at 1129 to 1160. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 404 to 430. Soybeans at 1138 to 1161. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 410 to 452. Soybeans at 1146 to 1192. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures report here on this Monday morning from last Friday. Fat cattle futures closed $1.20 to $1.40 higher Friday, December, with no reported delivery yet. Closed at $108.75, which is $5.75 above the cash market, which is regionally dependent. Front month feeder cattle futures closed the last trade day of last week with $1.10 to $2.12 gains led by January. January feeders were still down a nickel from last week's close, which is now 2 weeks ago. The Thursday feeder cattle index was another 45 cents lower at $136.66. The commitment of traders report showed cattle funds reduced their net longs by 1,591 contracts in the reporting week to 38,222. Managed money extended their net long in feeders on the week by 879 contracts to 1,946. USDA reported light catch-up cash business on Friday from 103 to 106. The bulk of last week's cash sales were from 106 to 108, but lower in the Western Corn Belt. Wholesale box beef prices were down again Friday, following 71 cents in choice and $2.76 in selects. Both dropped more than $21 last week. USDA's estimate for the weekly cattle slaughter was 665,000 head through Saturday. The strong Saturday kill would bring last week's total in line with 2 weeks ago and last year, Year-to-date slaughter still trails 2019 by 3.5%. Front-month lean hog futures closed with a triple-digit loss Friday. February, that completed last week's slide with a 5% drop. Pork cutout futures also fell triple digits on Friday. USDA's national average afternoon base hog price for last Friday was at $53.44, down 77 cents. The lean hog index was back down a nickel on Wednesday of last week to $65.61. Federal Trade Commission data showed lean hog speculative traders reduced their net longs by 4,775 contracts to 33,584. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value is up $1.28 Friday at $79.71. USDA estimated last week's federally inspected hog slaughter through Saturday at 2.776 million head. That's even with 2 weeks ago and 4,000 head above the same week last year. USDA reports year-to-date slaughter is at 124.336 million head, up 0.75% from last year. So to recap your livestock futures from Friday of last week off the Board of Trade, December cattle closed at 108.75 Friday, up 82 cents. February cattle at 113.25, up $1.40. April live cattle closed at 117.37, also up $1.40. January feeders closed at 139.72, up 2.12. March feeders at 140.55, up $1.30. April feeders at 141.90 Friday, up $1.17. Finally, your hogs for December closed at 64.67 Friday, down 12 cents. February hogs at 63.22, down $1.87. April hogs closed at 76.50. down $1.57, and the December pork cutout closed at 78.10, down 25 cents on Friday. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for last Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 77 cents lower, in a range of $48 to $56 with a weighted average carcass price of $53.44. From the Illinois direct sow port, slaughter sow price were $1 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $25 to $27. 4 to 5 weighted $27 to $30. 5 to 6 weighted $31 to $34. And over 600 pounds, $33 to $37. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gelts country buying points were $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $33 to $38. Packer receipts for barrels and gelts totaled $37,292. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers libation trade at 104 to 106, and on address basis at 168. Choice heifers and libations trade at 103, and on address basis at 170. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was dice with 407 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $79.71, which is $1.25 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcass were trading lower. Choice cargo was $213.88, which is 71 cents lower, while select cargo is $195.71, which is $2.76 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 118,000 compared to 117,000 last week and 123,000 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 490,000 compared to 491,000 last week and 486,000 1 year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, 6:28 on this Monday morning. Once again, 28 degrees at the Weather Center. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Stein Seed and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 17 locations to serve you. And once again, we joined WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News on your Monday morning. Congress's endless bickering over the shape and size of more COVID relief is taking a human toll, and one industry says any more delay could even impact the delivery of life-saving vaccines. COVID vaccines expected to receive FDA emergency approval in just days, will need a key medium to reach the millions of Americans intended to be vaccinated.
It needs dry ice to be shipped and distributed across the country. And where does dry ice come from? It comes from the ethanol industry. We've got ethanol plants across the U.S. that are capturing CO2.
That is Renewable Fuel Association Chief Jeff Cooper, who complains some ethanol plants are hanging on by a thread, even as the output of fuel has ticked up again in recent weeks.
That increase in production is happening at exactly the same time that we're seeing a reduction in demand again. Because of the recent spike in COVID cases, and you got more people staying home and travel restrictions and, you know, the kind of going back to where we were in March and April.
U.S. ethanol production neared 1 million barrels a day in the week ending December 4th, the highest level since COVID restrictions were first put in place back in March. But without more economic and vaccine support from lawmakers fighting with each other instead of against the virus, more lives and jobs will be lost. Last week, the USDA released its December crop production and World Ag supply and demand estimate on Thursday. USDA dropped soybean ending stocks down to 175 million bushel, 15 million bushel lower than last month, due to an increase in domestic crush. Total U.S. oilseed production for 2020-2021 is projected at 123.7 million ton, down from last month. The U.S. season average soybean price is at $10.55 a bushel, up 15 cent. The U.S. December corn supply and use overlooks are unchanged from November. The projected season average farm price is also unchanged at $4 a bushel. The outlook for 2020-2021 U.S. wheat this month calls for slightly smaller supply, unchanged domestic usage, higher exports, and lower ending stock. Supply are reduced on lower imports. Projected ending stocks dropped 15 million bushel to 862, 16% lower than last year, and the season average farm price for wheat is unchanged at $4.70 a bushel. In other ag news here on your Monday, a Central Illinois farmer was elected chairman of the United Soybean Board, which funds research and promotion activities that bolster the soybean economy. Dan Farney of Morton was elected chairman of the National Soybean Checkoff Board, where he has served for 7 years.
I've served about 4 years on the executive committee, so just kind of a lot of hard work and being willing to serve people and work for my fellow soybean farmers have got me to this point. You meet a lot of people, you meet a lot of great farmers. It's just very cool for a farmer from Morton, Illinois to be able to do all this.
Farney says the United Soybean Board is farmers helping farmers.
The biggest thing is it's farmer-led, farmer-driven, farmer decisions, and farmer finance. So that is probably the biggest thing that I'd like to get across, is that this is farmers working for ourselves, trying to better ourselves, being collaborative in looking for new uses and promoting our product.
And Farney says selecting new uses and promotional ideas for the future are the greatest challenge for the checkoff.
Some of the biggest challenges would be, as always, we're looking for new research projects to be thinking ahead. Sometimes it's hard to be innovative, and that's what we want to try and be, is be looking ahead and looking for the next big thing or the next use that we can really increase usage of our soybeans. So if I had to say one, that would be, it's kind of a challenge to look into the future.
Again, that's Dan Farney of Morton up in Tazewell County, and he's the new chairman of the United Soybean Board. In other soybean-type related news, this time on the local Illinois Soybean Association side of things, if you know a certified crop advisor with superior soil consulting expertise, the Illinois Soybean Association is now accepting nominations for a new award named in honor of a former certified crop advisor and soy envoy, Dave Raw. Of course, Dave was a Hillsboro resident up until his untimely death back in April. But during his year as a certified crop advisor and soy envoy, Dave authored blogs for Illinois Soy Advisor, covering topics such as soil compaction, micronutrient management, cover crops, and more. And in addition to writing for IL Soy Advisor, Dave wrote his own blog, Observations in Agriculture. To speak more on the award that will be given in February at the ISA's Virtual Soybean Summit is Todd Steinacher, Agronomic Coordinator for the Illinois Soybean Association.
You know, in 2019, Dave was part of the Soy Envoy program, which You know, he did a great job advocating on behalf of growers and to growers the importance of managing soils and soil health. Soil fertility was a great passion of his. And then just overall how to grow good consistent crops. So, you know, he was a great advocate through ISA, and once, you know, we were informed of his passing, it just seemed obvious to have an award to remember what he brought to ISA, to Illinois farmers, but then to, I guess, reward somebody else down the road who has the same passion that he did. So from a nomination standpoint, you know, they open on December 18th, and you can nominate somebody at illsoilvisor.com. And really, for the most part, we're looking for, you know, a candidate that is a Illinois CCA and really excels in their community. They really have a passion for consulting, agronomics, and soil fertility. So those are the folks that we want to, you know, carry on the legacy of Dave.
Absolutely, and just from a personal experience on my point, not only did he excel when it came to working with producers, he also gave back to the community, as you said, looking for someone that shares those same qualities that Dave did. Of course, Dave gave quite a lot back to local 4-H, local FFA chapters, and the youth in agriculture especially.
Definitely. You know, one thing, you know, after Dave passed, I actually jumped on the Elfo Advisor website and just went back in the archives and read some of his newsletters that I had missed maybe over the season when he was an envoy. And you can just tell his passion, you know, from a crop standpoint. And then I had the opportunity to kind of work with him on the envoy project and just talking with him, you know, through topics and some regional challenges that maybe growers were facing. So, you know, it wasn't an 8-to-5 job for him. You could honestly just tell the passion that he had for production ag, soils, and his community.
Normally awards are given at a banquet or an event of some sort, but of course with the ongoing pandemic, those type of events have been kind of put on the back burner. Anything special when it comes to the award nominations and then when it comes to the eventual presentation of the award this year?
Yeah, so in the past, you know, similar awards, you know, an Ag Masters, you know, soybean agronomist would have been awarded this during the Soybean Summit, a live event typically in Springfield. Going in this next year, it'll actually be a virtual event, you know, held sometime going to be in February. We're kind of working with our speakers to get all that lined up. So during that virtual event is when this person will be announced. The person will get recognized during this event. They'll receive a plaque and then actually a monetary reward of about $500.
And again, that was Todd Steinacher, who works as an agronomic coordinator for the Illinois Soybean Association. And again, if you'd like to nominate a certified crop advisor with some superior soil consulting expertise like Dave had, and you can start nominating those folks for the award coming up on Friday the 18th, just go to ilsoyadvisor.com and download the nomination form. In other ag news for your Monday, President-elect Biden wants former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack as his U.S. Ag Secretary. Illinois farmers should be okay with that pick, according to Deanne Bloomberg. She serves as the Director of Issues Management for the Illinois Farm Bureau.
Oh, you know, I think it's really positive. It's a classic example where he's got the history and knowledge, having served 8 years under the Obama administration. And he'll be able to slide right in, you know, and a lot of our farmers understand how important and critically responsive USDA has been to their operation in the last several years.
Currently, Vilsack serves as president and CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Also speaking on the topic of a possible new ag secretary, going into his fifth term in office, Rodney Davis is looking forward to be working with former U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, who served 8 years under the Obama administration. Also, Davis credits the work of current Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue.
You know, I got a chance to work with former Secretary Vilsack when he was President Obama's Ag Secretary, and if he is named as Ag Secretary, I'm excited that I get a chance to work with him again. While nobody can compare to Sonny Perdue, I think Sonny Perdue did everything we've ever asked him to do throughout the 13th District at one of the toughest times in our nation's history. I mean, this is a guy who was in Central Illinois on numerous occasions, and we've got to be able to get more people like that into government. But Tom Vilsack and I had a great working relationship, and if he is going to be the choice, then I'm glad it was him rather than somebody that I didn't have a relationship with.
And again, that's Rodney Davis, representative of the 13th Congressional District here in Illinois, and that interview was conducted just hours before the announcement of Vilsack becoming the possible next Ag Secretary. I don't believe there's been an official confirmation of Vilsack being the next Ag Secretary, but all indications are pointing towards him to serve under the Biden administration. In other state and local ag news here for your Monday, it's full steam ahead for next year's state fair. For the first time, the state fair is announcing part of the grandstand concert lineup before Christmas. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, Tuesday, for shows by Toby Keith, Kelsey Ballerini, George Thorogood and the Destroyers, and more. There will also be a new seating area for the concerts called the Blue Ribbon Zone, and a new ride pass, says State Fair Manager Kevin Gordon.
This is the first year that I've been with the fair, and I think in the history of the fair, that we have ever released our grandstand acts and went on sale prior to Christmas. I think it gives the individuals who want to go to the concert, gives them a golden opportunity to purchase these as Christmas presents, which is great. Now, we're very, very excited about that. For an extra $10 on your Mega Pass, you can purchase a Jumbo Pass, and that will include as many times as you want to go down the giant slide for 11 days.
Both the Jumbo Pass and Mega Pass go on sale this week at a reduced rate for the holidays. You can learn more online at IllinoisStateFair.info. In other state-related ag news and a little bit on the IDNR side of things, hunters harvested more than 76,000 deer during Illinois firearm deer seasons. That's excluding this past weekend's muzzleloader season. The second half of the season was a great season, and it wrapped up 2 weekends ago, according to State Department of Natural Resources spokesperson Rachel Torbert.
We ended up just a little bit ahead of where we were last year. So hunters this year had a preliminary harvest of 76,579 compared with 75,417 last year. So we're up just about 1,000.
This past weekend was muzzleloader season, and those numbers are expected to be released later on this week. But Torbert also explains that there's a few more opportunities for hunting in the next few weeks.
We have our late winter antlerless only deer season and our CWD deer season. Now the CWD deer season is only in designated counties.
And for a full list of those CWD counties, just go online to huntillinois.org. And finally here in local ag news for your Monday, 6 U of I Extension employees were recognized for their accomplishments, resulting in organizational change that supported diversity, pluralism, and innovation. Carla Belzer, Amanda Cole, Michelle Cox, Susan Glassman, Duria Kemp, and Dolores Walker received the Extension Excellence and Diversity Award for an educational series they created called Race Matters. The Race Matters webinar series was developed in response to the injustice, frustration, and sadness that the team members were observing in their communities this year. Its goal was to raise awareness among Extension staff to enable to take on new roles as allies and to support positive change, moving towards justice and inclusion in the work that Extension performs in all communities. The local winner was Amanda Cole, who serves as Extension Director for Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County, and she works to assess the needs within communities in our local area. She then works to connect individuals, families, businesses, organizations, and communities to unbiased research through Extension programs with the goal to empower those served to make better informed decisions. Her interests include educating communities on issues facing those living in poverty and on the resources available through Extension. As County Director, Cole provides the overall programmatic leadership in Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County. She is additionally responsible for personnel management and resource development to support the work within the multi-county unit, which is Unit 18. The research-based programs address the most pressing issues within Illinois, and those are food, health, environment, community, and economy. Cole is a native of Central Illinois and earned both of her Bachelor's of Science and Master's of Business Administration from Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. Her primary focus of study was business and finance. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here for a Monday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Monday morning, December 14th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.